remember, because I can't relate to time. We talked about Stephen and as a an example of an ideal church member. And I'm not exactly sure where I left off. I was going to finish that lesson, but I didn't mark where I quit. Now, I know we covered some of these points, but I'm just going to do review real quick, and then we'll get into the last little bit of the lesson here. So remember that the church in Jerusalem had a lot of great preachers, well-known preachers in the day. I mean, we still remember James. He was probably the senior pastor there from the reading.
Yes,
it seems to be that way. Certainly Peter was there, and I think Peter could preach. And
yes,
I know that James could preach, and there were other, the apostles, all of them were there. So they had a lot of great preachers. Mm-hmm. The church grew exponentially, and it kept multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. And with that came more burdens upon the pastors, the preachers that were there. And you know that the situation arose where they were taking care of their widows as they should. The Grecians, however, because Greeks, Gentiles were getting saved and added to the church also. And their widows were being neglected. Now, when you got a church running possibly 20,000 and you don't have any mass media, there's no way of communicating other than, chiseling something out on stone, I suppose, or writing something on parchment, passing it along by word of mouth, basically, and they would come and make the announcements and so forth. It's awful easy to for problems to develop. In our age, it's easy for problems to develop. You know, you get two people together, you know what they're going to have? Problems.
Problems.
And imagine getting 20,000 people together. You got lots of problems, probably multiplied problems, you know. So they were being neglected, and so they selected some people to be to become deacons to help with the needs of the church, to help the pastoral staff. And in Acts chapter 6, number 1, verse 1, Acts 6, 1, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So they were having problems here in the church, even with James, the Apostle James as a pastor, even with Peter being on the pastoral staff, even with, you know, the other apostles, they were having problems. So they decided that they came up with this idea, I believe led by the Spirit, to choose some church members. In verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So they left it to the congregation to select what later became known as what we would call deacons in the church. But they gave them these requirements. One, it was to be the congregational's choice. They would choose seven men. And number one, they were to be honest. Honest. I remember we talked about honesty in detail.
And
it's important that we learn to be honest people, okay? Now, I'll give you a little test, an honesty test here, okay? How many of you know what the word purloining means? Purloining. It's in the Bible. Not purloining. Are you obeying that verse? Well, if you don't know the definition of the word, how do you know if you're doing it or not? Somebody have their phone out real quick. Can you look up Blue Letter Bible? It's a concordance. And look up the word purloining, P-U-R, purloining. Just think about that for a moment. We'll give you a test. Because what was the number one qualification for these deacons? Honest. That they would be honest people. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report.
Amen.
So they had a reputation for being honest. Honest. Now, I know the definition if you don't have it, but I'm just going to let somebody else find it, okay? Full of the Holy Ghost. So they were to be spirit-filled, spirit-led, and also be wise and full of wisdom. So these were the requirements for the deacons in the church.
Yep.
Now, where were they supposed to get them, these deacons?
From the congregation,
exactly. So that meant scattered throughout the congregation, there ought to be honest people. Every time I put my right hand down, that does that. So let me, I think maybe a connection here might be off. Just hold it. The church ought to be full of honest people so that if we could select seven men, we could find seven men in this church that are honest. Don't you think? That ought to just be a given. Did anybody look up that word yet? Natasha? Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Just the definition. To steal, not purloining. A mechanic goes to work. And I worked in shops where we had bins and bins and bins of nuts and bolts and nails. And you're working on a project at home, and all you need is a quarter-inch bolt.
Yep.
And they just got tons of them at work. You use them all day long. But I would have to go over here to Ace Hardware, take my time, and I'd have to spend, used to be a nickel, probably 12 cents now, to buy that. Well, that's no money at all. I don't, you know, hardly consider that stealing, do you? Especially if it's a big, let's say it's a government organization where they've got gazillions amount of money.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they're wasting it.
Exactly.
And it's only a nickel to 12 cents. And the convenience, it saves me a half an hour. You know how easy it is just to pick that up, take it home? That's what purloining is when you take stuff from your employer. Do we have honest people in here? Just asking. Now, teenagers, I'm not letting you off the hook either. Because if we are having something back there, we're having snacks, right? And if we have snacks, and if they're set out, and the rule is you can have one, what is it if you take two?
Stealing.
Purloining. But there's almost no expense there.
Right.
How much does a half of a donut cost anyways? Huh? We're not talking about Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, there you go.
A half of a donut, and they got 10 donuts left over. Well, they ought to go back to whoever bought them, and then they can do with it whatever they want. If they want to give you more, fine. But you ought to ask. If you do without asking, you're purloining, not purloining. See how easy it is not to be honest? And I read something. There was a survey, and they said that if they found a wallet, they were more likely to turn it back in, return it to the sender, if it had money in it.
Wow.
Oh, did you read that? Okay. Now, there was a kind of a dollar amount limit. And if it was, less than $37, do you remember the story? I don't remember. Something like that. People would turn it in because, you know, we want to be honest and or at least sort of honest. Like when the police officer comes up to your window and say, you know how fast you were going? 45? Actually, it was 52, but, you know, 45?
Exactly.
Do you know what the speed limit is? You're thinking, 45? No, it's 35, okay? We want to be honest, and so if we can get close to being honest, sometimes we accept that as honest. But you know what? It's not. It's not. Just getting close to honest isn't being honest. Okay? How would you like it if you were drowning and I almost saved you? I mean, I got close. Isn't that good enough? No. No. You want to be completely saved from drowning, not almost saved from drowning. All right? So, to be honest, we're going to have to really go out of our way sometimes and be inconvenienced. Standing in the Safeway, Fry, I don't know, some grocery store, and person dropped a $20 bill right in front of me. They were talking to the clerk, and you know, I was saying, man, you're annoying me $20 worth because you're wasting my time and you're talking to this clerk, get him moving. And I just watched her for a little while. I didn't see it. And finally I told her, you know, hey, you dropped you got this. And she picked it up, you know. I could have made a 20, easy 20 bucks right then. In the scheme of things over your life, is $20 really that much money? No. Out of all the millions that you will probably make in your life, Brother Leslie, $20 isn't that much money. Okay. But it would be against you not to be honest. Do we have honest people? Deacons need to be honest. Well, deacons need to be honest. So are we? I'm supposed to be reviewing, and I'm redoing this. I'm sorry. He was a typical church member. In verse number 1, it says, in those days when the numbers of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. A murmuring. Now, I know we talked about this because God talks an awful lot about murmuring. And when you think back to the Israel wandering in the wilderness, what was one of the greatest sins and the most common sins that God dealt very harshly with the nation of Israel? Murmuring. Complaining. Okay. God doesn't like complainers. He was to be a servant of the church. In verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Serve, okay? Serving is what God expects of his people. I mean, didn't Christ serve the disciples?
Yes, he did.
They washed their feet?
He did. Yeah.
Did he serve us when he died on Calvary?
He sure did.
He sure did. He wasn't doing that for himself, I guarantee you that. And so we need to learn to become servants if we're going to be used of God. Thinking of 1 Timothy 2:5 talks about a god. Well, he was a godly man, okay? And a godly man is also one of the requirements, because you're not going to be full of the Holy Spirit if you're not godly. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. In other words, he's to be full of the Spirit of God, just like Jesus. Now, he's a deacon, okay? But where did they find the deacons? Amongst the congregation.
Yes, sir.
So in the congregation, there ought to be spirit-filled people.
Yes, sir.
We expect certain things of the pastor, but you know what? Mm-hmm. The pastor tithes not because he's a pastor.
That's right.
He tithes because he's a Christian.
Yes, sir. That's good.
And as a Christian, we all are supposed to tithe.
Amen.
It's not a mark of super spirituality that you tithe. It shows that you're not spiritual if you don't, but that's just baby steps. That's kindergarten giving in the Christian world. Now, most people think tithing, 10%, they can't fathom that. It's so hard to believe if they could ever get to that. They think it's like hitting a single in baseball. The pastor tithes because he's a Christian. We ought to tithe because we're Christians too. Okay? In other words, there shouldn't be a distinction between the congregation and the pastor. Where was Brother Dawson, Pastor Dawson? Well, he's brother then. Where was Brother Dawson before he became a pastor in the realm of the church?
Yeah.
Sitting in the congregation.
Congregation, yep.
Where was I before I became a pastor? Sitting in the congregation.
Congregation.
Yep. And God has people scattered throughout the congregation to fulfill certain needs of the church. And so he pulled Brother Dawson out, and he became a pastor, and now he's our pastor, pastor of the church, okay? But what if he had been sitting in the congregation as a typical Christian these days? Not tithing? Someone who was unreliable, wouldn't help in the church. Where you think God would have called him? If he hadn't been thirsting for, and Faye, there's a couple kids out in the hallway too. There's a couple kids out in the hallway. Sorry, I repeat myself. God wants the needs of the church met from the congregation of the church. So you need to be willing to step up and fulfill whatever needs to be met. Over here, we have a mission goal. Well, I can't write a check for $45,516. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody out there could. No, seriously. But, and I can't give $9,000. But on a weekly basis, I can give my share.
Yes, sir.
And the question then becomes, is each of us giving our share? Because that's a need that God wants fulfilled, and where is he going to have it met from? You think Bill Gates is going to write this church a check for $45,516 one day? He doesn't agree hardly with anything we believe, so why would he? Okay? He doesn't know us, and there's no obligation there. If he's not saved, he's certainly is not interested in spiritual things. So the needs of the church needs to be met from the members of the church. This church needed some deacons. So the requirements were already laid down before the congregation knew what the requirements were. There had to be people meeting those requirements first, then they could be called out of the congregation to become deacons. Same way men are called out to be pastors. Same way ladies are called into full-time service to go off to Bible college, meet a man who's going to be a missionary, get married, and go serve in Argentina the rest of her life. But the congregation needs to be meeting these things. He was a godly man. Now, the idea that the church membership being on the same spiritual grounds as the pastor, and we are. Now, he has certain duties that we are wrong to intrude in. And if you try to intrude into those areas, then you are going against the word of God.
Yes, sir.
He's the leader. He preaches what he believes God would have him to preach. You don't. And if you have an agenda and you're always working behind the pastor's back to have your agenda fulfilled, I have a quiet request. Go join some other church. And I'm not joking. Because you will harm the church by that kind of attitude. By fighting against the pastor. He has a realm and area of responsibility, just as you have a realm and area of responsibility. Now, he's the overseer, so he oversees everything that goes on around here. And you need to give him your complete loyalty. And if you can't back him, then please, again, find another church. We have to be serving in our area, and then God selects the people to do certain things that he wants them to do. He was a godly man. Now, there are churches out there that fight totally against this idea. To them, the clergy, as they call it, are overlords of the congregation. And that's not true. In 1 Timothy 2:5, go ahead and turn there. 1 Timothy 2:5. Now, this is a blessing to us, but it also conveys a responsibility. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And verse number 5. 1 Timothy 2:5. Oh, I'm in 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy is what I want. I'm in the wrong book, sorry. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. For there is one God and how many mediators?
One.
And who is that mediator? You mean it's not the Pope?
Yeah.
I thought he was a mediator. I thought he was God's representative on earth. Well, how about the Dalai Lama? Oh, he's not the mediator. He thinks he is God. He's actually God. He doesn't need the mediator. You do know that. Dalai Lama teaches he's God. Okay? He must be a pretty weak God. He can't even go home.
Yeah.
The communist Chinese won't let him in his own country. So he's not a very powerful God if he's God. Well, you know he's not. One mediator, that means you don't have to go and pray to a saint. And in fact, it's sin against God to do so. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, I don't think them as God. Well, then why are you praying to them? There's only one mediator, and that's Christ Jesus. In other words, we all have equal access to God. You have as much access to God as Pastor Dawson does. Now, the only difference is how much of that access are you applying to? How much of that access are you getting? Well, if you pray to God, guess what? You have access. Now, the only difference between him and me is how much we pray. Because we both have equal access. He doesn't have a executive privilege gold card to God. Well, I'm flying coach. And neither do you. And you have just as much access to God as I have. And you have just as much access to God as Pastor Dawson does. And he has just as much access to God as we do. The difference is how much are we taking advantage of that? How much are we applying ourselves to seek God's face? One of the reasons Stephen was selected as a deacon was because he was trying very hard to access God. That came out wrong. That's not exactly right. You don't have to try to access God. You just have to actually do it. He was willing to spend the time, there you go, and to pray and to do the things and to be honest, not purloining, and he was doing everything he could to be the best Christian he could, realizing he's nothing, and he was relying on God anyways to fill him with the Holy Spirit. And you could have as much of the Holy Spirit's power as Stephen has. You read this man's life? He was a Spirit-filled man. He had the power of God upon him. We could too, if we desired, and if we would apply ourselves. This idea of the Catholic Church, and God bless them, for I hope they get their eyes opened up someday.
Amen.
You don't confess your sins to a sinner.
That's right.
And expect to have your sins atoned for.
Amen.
The priest has his own sins. In fact, Hebrews covers that quite well. That the priest can't. He's offering sins, but I mean offerings for sins of the people, but he's got his own sins that he has to deal with. And those offerings are never good enough. There's only one acceptable offering to God, and that's the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary 2,000 years ago approximately. And consequently, he rose from the grave. That's the only thing God is going to accept as payment for your sins. And you can't get those sins washed away by going to a sinner and asking him to absolve you of those sins. He doesn't have the power. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus. There's nobody else, a mediator, an advocate, a go-between. If we had a dispute, Brother Hall, and I could ask Brother David to be a mediator, and he could talk to both of us, listen to our sides, and he could come up with an agreement or, you know, come up with an idea. Well, hey, why don't we do this? And is this acceptable to you? Is this acceptable to you? And so he could help us resolve our problems. But when it comes to access to God, there is no mediator except Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator. He is the only go-between. And you can only access him by faith. Faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Once you have been saved, born again, then you have as much access to God as Pastor Dawson.
Yes, sir.
As myself. As who's ever sat beside you in the pew. You have as much access to God as whoever you think the greatest Christian is. And if you think they're the greatest Christian, let me tell you, they're not. Nobody is. We're all sinful people. So he was a godly man who wanted to get closer to God. And if you too want to get closer to God, you can, because you have access to God as much as anybody else on this planet.
Amen.
You have as much access to God as the Apostle Paul had.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or we're talking about Stephen here,
yep.
As Stephen had. And then in verse 4, chapter 6, verse 4 of Acts, but we will give ourselves continue to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The apostles were going to be able to do this. And that's a result of choosing deacons who knew what their job was and who stayed in their sphere and didn't intrude into the duties of the pastor. fantastic results. We can see that when he and these other six men were selected to be deacons, that the preachers were freed from the more mundane duties. Not that they were not willing to do them, but they could use their time better. They could use their time more effectively. And because let me ask, quick question. Let's transport our time back in time. Okay, we invented a time machine. We hit 84 miles an hour. We're back in time, and now we are, and we go back to Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
And here's the first church here.
Yep.
James is the pastor. 20,000 people in attendance. You walk in that door the first day. You think you could pastor that church?
No way.
You think if we went to any church in America that 20,000 in attendance, you could pastor it effectively, immediate? No.
No, no.
But who could? James could.
James, yeah.
And so if you could do something to lift the burden upon James that James could do and would be willing to do and was doing, but if you could lift that burden by doing it yourself, that would give him more time to be free to execute the duties of the pastor.
Amen.
We are supposed to be a blessing to our pastor. So we ought to be doing the things that lighten his load. Okay? You never have to be asked to clean. Why? Well, if you see something needs cleaning, you can go do it. You don't have to be asked. And that's a mundane thing, but it needs to be done. If the bathrooms weren't cleaned after about a month, well, it wouldn't take that long. Imagine getting a visitor coming to our church and they go into the restroom and the restroom hasn't been cleaned for the last 3 weeks. What do you think the odds are they're coming back next week?
I don't think so. I wouldn't.
Do you have to be asked to fix a problem in the bathroom?
That's good.
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so. Tonight we're having a fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. I like that. See, we got food right after this class. We got food right after church tonight. I see a trend developing and I like it. All right. So we're going to have some food tonight.
Hey.
You don't have to bring anything.
Right.
Having pastored a church, let me tell you something. The pastor's worries about this. Is there going to be enough food for everybody and for the visitors? Well, we ought to bring so much every time that you never have to even give it another thought. So you can be a blessing to the pastor just by bringing food tonight. You can be a blessing to everybody in this room by bringing food, especially if it's good food, amen? And so bring some extra food tonight, more than just the bare minimum, so you can be a blessing to the church, to the congregation, to the pastor. He should never have to give it a thought. We're having a fellowship? Okay. Who's got the food? It's covered. It's covered. Don't worry about it, Pastor. It'll be here. You don't have to worry about a thing. There's going to be more than enough. We should be a blessing to our pastor in so many, so many ways. That's such a simple thing. But it is. Now, my job on Wednesday night has been killing me because I haven't been getting back in enough time to attend on the church services regularly on Wednesday nights. Okay. But if you could be here, get to where you ought to be. Yeah, like you said, if you could be here, you should be here.
Yes, sir.
Hmm? Sunday morning, yes, a blessing to the pastor, blessing to the congregation.
Yeah.
Somebody, what if somebody at the last minute called in sick and they have a duty? Imagine if two of the men who normally take the offering aren't here for one reason or another. They were planning on being here. Maybe they got in a wreck in the intersection, hit each other. maybe they both got the flu. Maybe one of them's at work and didn't get a message in time, and then the other person is sick, wakes up sick, and so we're out. Well, you know what? We need two guys who'd be willing to step up in the very that moment. I got it covered. You never have to worry. You need somebody to do that, I'll do it. I'm here. It doesn't matter. Okay. Same way with being able to teach. Now, you have to have some qualifications in order to teach, checked out by the pastor and so forth, and have the ability to do that, which is always wondered, why didn't he let me do it? You're supposed to have some ability. But you have to have some ability to teach. But are you willing? I've known people who have ability and would not use that ability.
There you go.
The same with the music. We've got some pretty good musicians here. Yes, don't get the big head. Okay, but we do have some pretty good musicians here. For a small church, I'm really impressed with the talent and the singers and so forth. But you know what? There's always room for one more.
Yeah, there is.
If you have that talent, then you should use that talent.
Amen.
And that's how you become a blessing to the congregation, a blessing to your pastor, and might I say, a blessing to God?
Yep, blessing to God, yep. Exactly, Brother Neil.
Because you are willing to do what he wants you to do. You're willing to use your talent. Of the people, the three people that had talents, who's the only one God got upset with? Did he get upset with the one who didn't produce as much as the other one? No. He gave him an equal blessing. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But he got upset with the one who had a talent and buried that talent. That would be the person who can sing, but they bury that talent in the church. They don't sing. That would be the person who could teach a Sunday school class or fill in or do something like that when needed, and or teach a discipleship class, and they bury that talent. They don't do it. That's who God's going to be upset with. Not the person who doesn't have the equal amount of skill and they can't do it as well as that first person could have done it, but the first person isn't doing it, so they bumble along and do it. God's not going to be upset with them for bumbling along. They're trying. They're using what talent they have for God.
Amen.
And even if we bumble along, we need to use what talent we have for God.
Yes, sir.
Let God take care of the results. Oh, good. Got time for another one. Verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So when Stephen and these other six men were selected to become deacons, they began to fulfill their duties. Some great things happened in the church, and the church began to grow even more. I mean, it's already 20,000. But it began to grow even more after the pastors were freed up to be able to devote their time exclusively to the Word of God. And you know why? I believe primarily because sick church members becoming servants. And that's what they were doing. They were taking groceries to the widows. That's what, daily. You know, they didn't have refrigeration like we have refrigeration.
Right.
They'd go down to the markets and they would buy their meat hanging. The meat was probably just killed 4 hours ago. That poor little lamb that I'm going to enjoy so much tonight was killed just 4 hours ago. And then, but the next day, or certainly the day after, you got to go back and get that because the meat would spoil. And they didn't have, they couldn't go into the refrigerator. They couldn't preserve their foods the same way. And it was a lot harder to have food available. That's why famines were so devastating, is they needed food being produced almost on a daily basis. And so these guys on a daily basis were going taking care of the widows all over town, Hebrew and Greek alike. And that freed the pastors up and says, as they were able to do their jobs, and walk with God more, and study more, and pray more, and witness more, the church began to grow even more. And that is because whether or not you are chosen to become a deacon, or whether or not you are chosen to be a Sunday school teacher, or whether or not you are chosen to fulfill any office or any position within the church, a major part of God's plan for individual Christians is to become a servant. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And verse 27. And whosoever be chief among you, let him be your, what's that word? Servant. In the world, a servant is the least desirable thing to be. I mean, they have stupid little jokes like, it's good to be king. Let me tell you something. It may be good to be king, but it's greater to be a servant in God's eyes. By the way, you really don't want to be king.
Amen.
You ever hear of Occam's razor? That's the one that's usually the right answer is usually the simplest. Okay. And I'm trying to remember, who was that other king? The guy wanted to be king for a day. He was so envious of his friend. He's friend of the king. King said, fine, you know. So he got to sit at the big table. He got to sit at the end of the table and make all the rules. And while they were eating, the king said to him, hey, look up. He looked up, and there was a sword pointing straight down, suspended by a string. And the guy freaked. Yeah, he says, there's people trying to take my head off every day. Do you really want to be king now? What's that other saying? I think it's an English saying. Something to the effect that heavy lies the head that wears the crown. Why? Because if you wear the crown and there's people trying to connive and get that away from you, you're going to be worried. Who do you trust? Who do you know isn't conniving against you? You know, the problem with being elected president for life is they might have another election next month. But I'm president for life. Yeah, so the election is we shoot you. People are always shooting figuratively. Well, sometimes literally. But figuratively, they're always shooting at the pastor.
That's right, Brother.
Complaining. We talked about murmuring. They're always trying to get their agenda in place instead of what the pastor wants that he believes God wants. And it's the same way in the business world. One company's trying to knock off another company. Same way in politics. They, you know, politicians are the most unfaithful people in the world. They will be your best friend today, and tomorrow they will throw you under the bus. And they will gladly drive that bus over you if they can get a gain. They will lie, they will steal, they will frame people, they will lie about what's going on. They'll commit crimes and charge you with them. They will deliberately send innocent people to prison. Prosecutors have deliberately sent innocent people to prison so that they could win a high-profile case and become more famous, go into law practice, private practice, make more money, further their political agenda. And so rather than worrying about being the boss, why don't we just choose to be servants? And do what we can quietly, humbly, and then let God worry about promoting us. That might be the wrong way of saying it. I don't think God really worries about anything, Brother Duffy. But let God be responsible. There you go. Let God be responsible for selecting us for further service as he chooses. I was in a church back in Indiana, and they had a ministry there where a lot of pastors would come in. It's a bigger church, and a lot of pastors who were hurt in the ministry, and it does happen, would come into that church, and then they would sit for a while. The pastor would help them, counsel them. They'd get some healing. They'd get back in the game again, so to speak, and then they would go back into the ministry and so forth, okay? Really good ministry going on. It wasn't promoted that way. It just worked out that way because it was a good church, you know. And then, but every once in a while, somebody would come in, and they were a pastor, and they weren't pastoring, and they would tell the pastor that they would teach the adult Sunday school class. He said, well, I teach the adult Sunday school class. You want my job? He says, no, I'll continue to teach the adults. I need somebody to teach the juniors. And they would literally, sometimes they would say this, sometimes they wouldn't say it, but the meaning's the same. I'm better than that. I'm too good for that class. I have more talent. I should be used in a more profile, high-profile position. And so they would sit there, bury their talent, and then some layperson would step up, bumble along, and do a wonderful job. Now, who do you think God is more pleased with? The person that's a servant.
Yeah.
And so be a servant, and then God will promote you when God wants to promote you. Well, what if God never promotes me? Wonderful. Then you're in the will of God.
Amen.
And that ought to be our goal, seeking to be in the will of God and not worry about positions or titles.
Right.
And if you think you can do something, just do whatever you can.
Amen.
To help out. And sooner or later, if God deems it appropriate,
mm-hmm.
you'll get your chance.
That's right.
But if he can't trust you with a little thing, how can he trust you with a big thing?
Right,
oh, wait a minute. Seems like I read about that in a parable once.
Yes, sir.
If he can't trust you with a little thing, how can he trust you with a big thing? How are you going to prove you're worthy? By being a servant.
Amen.
Just be a servant. Don't worry about it. Say, well, nobody sees me serving. Great. God does. And I'd rather God reward me than... Please don't be offended at this. I'd rather have God reward me than you. I'd rather have God's praise than yours. And we ought to have that same attitude. I'm not talking about being arrogant. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I hope you don't. I would rather have God's pleasure than any human's. I'd rather have God's blessing than any human's. Just be a servant.
Yes.
Sitting where you are today, what can you see that needs to be done?
Yes, sir.
If it's something that you can do, go ahead and do it. If it's something that, you know, maybe would entail a change of programming or something, then talk to the pastor about it, okay?
Yes.
And just volunteer. Or better yet, just go to the pastor and say, I'm looking around. I don't see anything that needs done,
mm-hmm.
but I'll do whatever you want me to do. Don't worry, my wife's a nurse. We'll revive Pastor Dawson after you tell him that. But think what a blessing that would be to your pastor.
Amen. That's right.
I don't know what needs to be done, preacher.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'll do anything. Just give me a job. And let him worry about finding a job.
Amen.
Let's just worry more about being a servant, humbly being a servant, than about titles.
Amen.
That's Stephen. He was a great church member. Oh, I wish I could be a church member like Stephen. Well, guess what? You have access and as much access to the same God as Stephen.
Amen.
And we can do this together with God's help. And let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time and for this class. Lord, I hope this lesson helps some people. Lord, it helped me to prepare it. And I just pray, God, that it would help others likewise. Lord, we pray in all things that we would keep Christ first and foremost, and Lord, that we would seek his glory and not ours. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless this congregation. Lord, we thank you for the foods we're about to receive over here and have the snacks, the treats. We pray, God, that you'd bless those who provided, and Lord, we pray that you would bless both the food and the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're dismissed.